Welcome, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whale, and very excited to have you with us here tonight. As always, it is, let's see, June 7th, 2007, midnight here in the Central Time Zone. Very excited that you're listening online at republicbroadcasting.org and AM and FM stations around the country, around the world. Our special guests this evening are the authors of the book, The Ascendancy of the Scientific Dictatorship. They also write an extensive amount of online articles available at www.conspiracyarchive.com in the commentary section. Just look for the names, Paul and Philip Collins. Their most recent offering is entitled Institutions of Economic Piracy. And that's what we've been talking about here for the first hour. Gentlemen, welcome back, both of you.
Thank you, Frank.
Oh, thank you guys so much. It's an amazing amount of information. And what you've got here, and you look at the whole thing, for example, the Dominionists, and you look at, as we were talking about on the show, we talked about Sam Brownback and this fellowship where they have prayer cells based on the Hitlerian model, the Mao concept, the Osama bin Laden concept. And again, they're endorsing these guys, saying how great it is and how effective it is to have small groups of people working behind the scenes to institute the will of God and create this sort of theocracy. Well, that ties in with so many other things. And you mentioned about the East India Trading Company and sort of their way of spreading sort of religion to oppress the people in the name of God in some capacity. And if they didn't do that, then they just send out their mercenary corporate army to just annihilate people.
Yes, that's right. In some instances, however, the private security firms, these mercenary armies, are actually acting as the personal armies of the Dominionists themselves. If you take Blackwater USA, its founder, Eric Prince, his sister is married to Dick DeVos, who's the son of the Amway founder, Richard DeVos.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Both Senior and Junior DeVos have been involved in the Council for National Policy. And the Council of National Policy is basically been referred to as kind of a conservative version of the Council on Foreign Relations, mm-hmm. and it's part of a project it's a Dominionist project to dupe grassroots conservative activists into supporting elite initiatives. So, and this project actually went back years and years into the past and began with Nelson Bunker Hunt. And Hunt was a board member and financier of the John Birch Society, and the John Birch Society was able to conceal the fact that it was controlled by elites by promoting John Stormer's book entitled None Dare Call It Conspiracy. And that book attacked the Council on the elitist organization known as the Council on Foreign Relations. And in the minds of the public, that distanced the John Birch Society from the elitist CFR. However, if you look at several of the JBS members, such as William Greed, William Benton McMillan, Robert Warren Stoddard, J. Nelson Shepard, they were either directly or indirectly tied to the Council for Foreign Relations. And the CMP was created with the remnants of the John Birch Society's domestic surveillance and intel gathering arm, the Western Goals Foundation, and Nelson Bunker Hunt, again, who was a JBS financier and a Western Goals principal, basically put forward the money for the creation of the CMP, and then Hunt would go on to serve as the CMP's president from 1983 to 84, and he'd also serve on the CMP's board of governors. And as with the case of the John Birch Society, the CMP was presented to the American public as an alternative to the CFR. However, the CMP's governing body, its first governing
Let
body.
Let me jump in here. I apologize. The Collins Brothers, ladies and gentlemen, and more Frankly Speaking Radio when we come back in 3 minutes.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line.
Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Our special guest this evening, Philip and Paul Collins. Welcome back, gentlemen. And we've got a lot of callers who would like to chat with you. We'll try to get those in, definitely. But let's kind of circle back here to talk about the World Bank and the IMF. What role are they playing these days, and how is all that with the foundations that have been laid about the integration of various countries in this sort of world colonialization, this acquisition of natural resources, and enslavement of people, and genocide, and population control, all of those things. Now, the World Bank and the IMF obviously have some control over the economic side of things, but how is that parlayed into the other things that we've discussed?
Well, the IMF and the World Bank are basically recycling those tactics and the strategies put forward by the whole East India combine, and they are involved in a gigantic global wealth transferal today. They're part of a scheme of global wealth transferal. See, what the elite did is during the first half of the last century, they facilitated the rise of communism and fascism in different countries. They facilitated the rise of socialist regimes in different countries. And what happened is that these socialist regimes would steal away the companies from the middle and lower class people and consolidate those companies and the different ways of generating wealth into tremendous state-run monopolies. Then, using the IMF and the World Bank and a tactic known as disaster capitalism, these elites went in and bequeathed these state monopolies unto themselves as their own personal private monopolies.
Yeah, they basically started a campaign of predatory privatization
through,
at that point.
Through privatization. So first you had nationalization under the socialist regimes, then you have privatization with disaster capitalism, and so the first the state took it away from the common person, took away business from the common person, and then it was further given to the wealthy 1%, to the oligarchs. And that's what the IMF and the World Bank are basically doing today.
Yes, basically, we mentioned earlier that one of the chief theoreticians for the power elite, whether he knew it or not, was Charles Darwin. And of course, Charles Darwin, one of his the major roles that he served for them was the popularization and legitimization of their power under the rubric of natural selection or survival of the fittest. Well, with the shift from theocratic power structures to technocratic power structures, the power elite themselves underwent a shift, and they shifted from being an oligarchy that received the sanction of the dominant ecclesiastical authorities to being what the late Vatican insider Malachi Martin referred to as socio-political Darwinians. Basically, globalism, whether it's of the transnationalist or internationalist variety, and those two varieties of globalism have been known to move back and forth between both camps virtually seamlessly. They basically qualify as socio-political Darwinians. They view social, political, and economic interdependence as the logical corollary of man's alleged political evolution. They believe that man is not only undergoing a biological evolution, but a corresponding political evolution, and socialist totalitarian one-world government represents the final outcome of that political evolution. And what the IMF and World Bank do is they operate as socio-political Darwinian machinations, because if you'll notice, part of the bailout conditionalities that come along with World Bank and IMF bailout campaigns is the dismantling of certain vital pieces of infrastructure. And we've seen this in countries like Jamaica, where certain pieces of infrastructure, vital pieces of infrastructure, are dismantled, and it leaves the population susceptible to the elements. And this basically leads to the overall imposition of the sanctions of natural selection, survival of the fittest. Because the target population no longer has the benefit of subsistence production of infrastructure, it's left basically vulnerable to the elements, and from the view of the socio-political Darwinians, the weak are extirpated and the strong survive.
So if you want to talk about biological warfare, you don't have to talk about anthrax or bird flu. You can just talk about the IMF and the World Bank.
Yeah,
basically
state becomes a weapon of biological warfare, because if the population is first made biologically dependent upon it through socialism, and then has the carpet pulled out from underneath them, so to speak, through predatory privatization, then basically you have biological warfare there, because no longer are the forms of subsistence production upon which people are biologically dependent, and the forms of infrastructure which people are biologically dependent upon, are those things are no longer available to them, and they're basically extirpated by the elements.
Wow. That's amazing stuff. Do you guys mind if we squeeze in some calls?
Sure, sure.
All right, folks, let's do it. 800-313-9443. Let's go to Jim in West Virginia. Jim, welcome to the show. All right, let's go to Dan in Texas. Dan, welcome to the show. We've got some behind-the-scenes issues, apparently. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, there you are. It's Jim.
Yeah.
Jim in West Virginia. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's the phone flipped out on me for a second or two. But at any rate, so do your guests deny natural selection and selective breeding?
Yes, we do not subscribe to Darwinism. Basically, what you
whoa,
have, beg your pardon?
Whoa, there's a difference between evolution of a species and creation of a species.
Well, not if you look at it from the Darwinian perspective.
Oh, bull! Don't give me that.
Okay.
Listen.
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay. The little Drosophila, the little fruit fly, has been nuked and everything else to try to create a new species. They have never created a new species. There's a difference between creation of a species and the evolution of a species. You cannot deny natural selection. You cannot deny selective breeding.
Would you care to then explain for me what teleological purpose natural selection serves in cases of cultural institutions such as arts and entertainment? Because I fail to see how those help perpetuate the survival of the species.
And yet we've had them for centuries.
Okay, very simple. You cannot deny.
I just did. How does art and culture contribute to the survival of the fittest? We've had them for centuries, and yet they do not in any way contribute to this so-called process of natural selection.
Okay, I am with you in your natural gist of where you're going, but you cannot deny natural selection.
I just did. And no, why is it that we have...
You can't deny it.
We just did. You can't demonstrate any sort of usefulness in terms of natural selection of culture and arts, and yet culture and arts have been with humanity for the longest time. Now,
and if it didn't serve a purpose in making sure that man was dominant in the process of natural selection, man would have jettisoned art and culture a long time ago.
No.
Yes, they would have, because it serves no purpose whatsoever in the whole survival of the fittest process. And you cannot explain why there are creatures out there that are biologically very weak and that they have been with us for centuries.
Let's take it to another page. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, God created a species, not man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but there's a difference between the creation of a species and the evolution of a species.
Now, you cannot show me speciation. You can't show me one species becoming another, and you cannot show me...
No! I'm not even trying.
What are you saying?
Yeah,
what
let's scale it down to the basic issues here, Jim. What is your issue rather than just asking?
Evolution is a difference. Well, let me put it very simply.
Okay.
Evolution and creation are two different words.
Right.
So very simply, God created the species, but you cannot separate evolution from creation.
You're saying that a species will adapt to its environment. I don't think my guests would disagree with that.
No.
Well, I love your guests.
Mm-hmm.
I love what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to say is very simple, is that evolution occurs naturally or by man-made, but creation is by God.
Okay.
But you cannot, nobody has ever been able to demonstrate macroevolution.
But before we go any further, let's go ahead and knock out this break. We'll come back. And Philip and Paul will let you respond. And folks, remember our phone number, 800-313-9443. Stay with us. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. Our special guests this evening, Philip and Paul Collins. Welcome back, gentlemen. Before we bring our caller back up, go ahead, because we don't. This is not the Jerry Springer show. Okay, we don't need to shout each other down. It's unnecessary. We can take time and interact with each other like civilized human beings. Go ahead, gentlemen.
Sure. Well, basically, if you're thinking of evolution in terms of, I guess, adaptations within the species, that is demonstrable, but that doesn't even really qualify as what evolutionists call evolution. What evolutionists believe evolution to be is speciation, and that's gradual biological adaptations leading to the emergence of brand new species. And never once has evolutionary theory demonstrated any absolute instances of speciation. There's no transitional fossils to demonstrate that. There's no current examples within the human race to demonstrate speciation. So
our problem isn't so much a missing link as it is missing links, in that the missing link should be so plentiful that you can go in your backyard and dig no further than a couple of feet and find just the ground covered in them.
Yes. Yeah. And again, if you're looking to justify the idea of survival of the fittest, first off, you have to understand historically the idea of survival of the fittest
actually goes all the way back to certain socio-political doctrines, namely those held by Enlightenment thinkers such as Condorcet, that did not begin with individuals actually going out and objectively, scientifically examining the way that species interact. And again, the idea of survival of the fittest cannot account for certain social institutions within humanity and human culture itself that clearly do not contribute to the supposed survival of the fittest, that full law.
Well, I'll be very honest with you. You're right on the target on everything, except I do want you to... Am I on the air?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I do want you to understand that definitely... Seriously, there's a difference between evolution of a species and creation. Now, Darwin said that species were created by evolution. Evolution is different than creation. So I agree with your subjects. I agree with your guests. I agree with everything, except there's a very distinct difference between creation of a species and evolution. I'll let you guys go. You do a wonderful job.
Thank you for the call, Jim. I appreciate it as always, buddy. Jim, would you like to respond?
Well, I'd have to agree with him. There's a definite difference between creation and evolution, but clearly Darwin and his ilk were not promoting the idea of in a sense, they were promoting their own creation myth in that the idea was metaphysical naturalism, and that is that living matter somehow created itself, willed itself to be, and they called it evolution. And again, this is derivative of older occult ideas, such as the Kabbalistic legend of the golem, that somehow dead matter willed itself to become living matter. And that's from whence you have the Darwinian idea of abiogenesis. While Darwinism would certainly not hawk itself off as a creation doctrine, it does present a metaphysical claim, and that is the claim of self-creation. And metaphysical claims have been traditionally the province of religions, and that's what makes Darwinism really, in truth, a secular religion in and of itself.
Mm. Oh, well said. Let's go to Dan in Texas. Dan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, great show as usual. So, have you heard of one called the Creation Network? It's exactly about evolution being a bunch of nonsense and has all these comparative anatomists that are if you teach evolution in college, it used to be called comparative anatomy, showing how that it's impossible evolution to different theories of it disprove each other. The major evolution theories, one disproves the next one, and blah, blah, blah. And like the frog and the salamander and the turtle, we know there's a spinal cord and there's a shell, but in the strata of the earth, they're all mixed up. There's no which one was first doesn't make any sense because the layers, like you said a while ago, the intercreationnetwork.com has a whole hours and hours of stuff on this thing.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. That's the first time I've heard of that.
They got guys from Harvard and Yale and all the big universities. I mean, yeah, it's amazing. Creation Network, and then it comes on, of course, at 3:30 in the morning, so nobody can find it, but it's there. But it's on the network, on the internet, too. And on the John Birch Society, they've had a big split just recently. I'm in the John Birch Society because I know the leaders are a bunch of crooks.
Mm-hmm.
And as Ted Gunnarsson, the retired FBI, TedGunnarsson.com, retired FBI agent, 27 years over the FBI agent, over 700 FBI agents, to confirm how that they've been infiltrated and taken over. I'm not sure about who, but maybe she want money. I'm not sure who took it over. Nevertheless, being a member, I think, is a good thing because you meet other people who are dedicated to the right thing, even though the guys are running. Vance Smith just split the society up just a few months ago. Vance Smith was a big shot. Are you aware of the big split recently in John Birch Society?
No, I hadn't, but I know that that the same individuals that were behind the CMP were basically behind the John Birch Society. Nelson Bunker Hunt and basically the remnants of the intel gathering arm of the JBS. There was a prominent JBS writer, JBS journalist that's left their ranks here as of
William Norman Grigg.
Yes, William Norman Grigg.
Gentlemen, I have to interrupt again. I apologize, folks. Just a short interlude, only 3 minutes, and then back with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stay with us.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line-out and external line-in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio. You get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Friends, you are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Will, and our special guest this hour will be back here in just a second. But first things first, let me remind you of why we have this hour. Our good friend Grant Hall has sponsored it. He is the author of the book Privacy Crisis. This is available through his website, privacycrisis.com. The ebook is available there. You can also pick it up in a hardbound copy. You can look for it used at Amazon.com, or you can ask for it at your local bookstores and any of that stuff. Now, if you don't live near a bookstore, you don't feel like dealing with it, you can always call this particular Borders bookstore. They do have it in stock there. There should be no waiting on the shipping. And you can call 702-433-6222. It's a how-to book, folks, how to make yourself anonymous, how to protect yourself from identity theft and any number of things so you can travel, bank, work, and live in true freedom with your privacy intact. So I urge you to pick this book up. It is a must-have. Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall, our sponsor this hour, and we appreciate him so much, and also appreciative of our guests making time for us this evening, Philip and Paul Collins. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you guys very much. If you'd like to continue, feel free.
Oh, sure.
Well, like I said, the intel gathering brand, arm of the JBS, the Western mm-hmm. Goals Foundation, the remnants of that group became the core of the hierarchy of the Council for National Policy, and I think that if you were to look at the Council for National Policy, you would see a lot just the source of a lot of these kind of COINTELPRO operations against grassroots conservative organizations. I think if you look at the shakeup right now, for instance, with the Minutemen, you'll find that the CMP has got their claws in there because, for instance, the Minutemen first became involved in 2005 with a group known as the Diener Consultants when the Diener employee Connie Hare contacted Chris Simcox and asked if the Minutemen had a media plan. Simcox told Hare that the Minutemen had no such media plan, and so she arranged for a meeting between herself and Simcox and Gilchrist, and an agreement was signed, and Ms. Hare went on to become the Minutemen's spokesperson. Well, if you look at the Diener group, it's connected all the way to the highly secretive Council for National Policy. Its president is Phil Sheldon, who is the son of Reverend Lewis Sheldon, and Lewis Sheldon is a former member of the CMP. Diener employee Connie Hare also worked for Judicial Watch, which is a group that's heavily funded by the Scaife Foundation, and the Scaife Foundation is a front for Richard Mellon Scaife, who is an elitist that is also a top funder of the CMP, and a lot of the Minutemen have been the rank and file Minutemen have been asking about why the Minutemen has been classified as a project of the Declaration Alliance. And the Declaration Alliance was founded in 1996 by the CMP member Alan Keyes. And so I think you can find a lot of the subversion of grassroots attempts to oppose the establishment basically going back to this Council for National Policy and this whole project to actually dupe conservative grassroots activists into actually backing elitist initiatives.
Wow. Dan, anything further?
Oh, yeah, you said the Bunker. Is that the son of H.L. Hunt? Bunker Hunt? Is that H.L. Hunt? Whatever.
I know that he was related to H.L. Hunt. The Nelson Bunker Hunt is basically the individual that the oil tycoon from Texas that became extremely famous for his whole scam on trying to corner the market with the silver market.
He had a thing called Lifeline. You ever heard of Lifeline? It was his thing in Dallas.
Yeah,
what radio set? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I remember about reading it somewhere, but could you refresh my memory about what Lifeline was exactly?
Yeah, well, he was a true patriot. He was trying to inform all the Americans that the Chinese government simply became communist because, as the ambassador from the United States wrote a book explaining clearly, the Truman sent the wrong bullets for the guns that the Ho Chi Minh, the Chiang Kai-shek was using against Ho Chi Minh and communists, and therefore they were slaughtered on the battlefield. They ran there, they bathed them to keep fighting, then gave them the wrong kind of ammunition, and so they were slaughtered because they didn't have the right ammunition right on the battlefield when the wrong ammunition was taken to them, just to keep them set up to be slaughtered, which is why he had to go to Taiwan. And that's what Lifeline is a truly terrific thing.
Well, while I would classify Hunt as probably a sincere anti-communist, mm-hmm. I couldn't necessarily classify him as a good guy, because he basically saw the establishment's own brand of socialism as kind of a bulwark against communism, and so you can't say that anybody that's against communist is, you know, that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. You can't say that, because then all of a sudden, when it comes to communism, all of a sudden you find yourself if they're your enemies, you find yourself allied with the fascists.
Well, amen to that. What I can tell you is, if you watch your History Channel, you'll confirm what that he was considered a murderer. Rachel was a murderer. I mean, he was a totally organized crime figure. He stole my grandfather's land, which had oil on it, in Tyler, Texas, or Kilgore, and he stole it away. He got his youngest son, my uncle, who was like 15, drunk with prostitutes, and signed a forged father's signature. The Yankee federal judge in East Texas then told my grandfather, you can put your teenage son in jail for 20 years or you can have your land back. H.L. Hunt was an organized crime figure and sent here by the thugs of the New World Order, which just means the federal judges, and, you know, back here in Texas. They stole all in all over the place.
I know that.
I am still going to court less than 3 weeks now for $1,400,000 if the last drops of oil are left in the thing that had been ripped off, you know, by the land thieves and what have you since before I was born.
I know that, and I'll say this and just leave the conversation at that. I know that Nelson Bunker Hunt may have been connected in some way to the JFK assassination because Oswald had written a letter addressed to a Mr. Hunt, but it's unclear whether he meant the Nelson Bunker Hunt or if he had meant the CIA operative E. Howard Hunt.
Mm.
Wow. Well, I think really what happened is my dad went to school with H.L. Hunt. My uncle was a valedictorian of the Tyler High School, and he almost married H.L. Hunt's niece. And when my dad went to the University of Texas, LBJ held me in his arms. I was an infant. There was nothing to brag about. And in my opinion, it was mostly politics, not because mainly because the Ku Klux Klan was being infiltrated and annihilated by Kennedy, as has been clearly put on History Channel. They would simply go to the right. The Ku Klux Klan was put away by the FBI attacking them physically and three guys against one and say, if you shoot me, the other guys will get you, and scaring guys into being a member of the Ku Klux Klan. And they would write letters to Ku Klux Klan members' wives saying, your husband has seen Susie Q, and caused divorces, and Kennedy was lost his life because he stood up against the Klan. Whether you know that or not, I can assure you that is true. And I can assure you there is proof of what I can tell you. They do not want the proof known because at the time it happened, when Kennedy was killed, there was a bullet in Connally near his heart or his spine or his soul if he had one, and they couldn't dig the bullet out because it was too dangerous, right? Well, at that time in 63, they were saying over all the news that, well, when Connally kicks the bucket, boy, we'll get his cadaver and we'll dig that bullet out of him. We'll know what bullet came from Oswald's gun or not. Well, he kicked the bucket. Not a word's been said since 1963, anybody but me that I know of. Because he's laying in the ground now. He can go dig his bullet up and see if it came from Oswald's gun, but it ain't going to happen because they don't want people to know the truth.
Well, there's a lot of different things out there, and I appreciate the call, Dan, as always. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to Roger in Pennsylvania. Roger, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen. About four or five things I wanted to respond to. I don't know that maybe William Norman Grigg hadn't fallen out with the Birch Society commensurate with the Thomas Gow and Vance Smith and that top-heavy Mormon crowd having left as well. I will say that the John Birch Society I guess continues to do some good work in spite of the best efforts of Jack McManus and even more so, I would say, Tom Gow and Van Smith to try to kill it. I think there's a likely that the Hunt brothers are unfairly chastised for their what I take to be quite probably fully legal and ethical acquisitions of silver way back when. Well, you might say they did a pretty big favor in having driven up the price of gold to something past their artificially suppressed, or silver rather, past their artificially theretofore suppressed values, that they acquired the gold fully legally and ethically, and that their holdings were removed from them in the opposite manner, illegally and unethically. And even Jeff Bennett here on the network, on his own show, when he had his own on a different network, alluded as much about the Hunt brothers being bashed on in a unmerited manner.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to speak to that a little bit first, and I add a few other items?
Well, I do have to agree with you that rank and file JBS members have made a considerable contribution that's positive.
But the society itself as well, at least in the time frame some time past, I would say less so now, but would you concede the society more broadly way back when at least when it was under Robert Welch's control?
Yeah, although you could still see this fifth column trying to get into it even as far back as then. And there's a lot of things that he did that suggested a flirtation with fascism. His funding of the Western Goals Foundation and the fact that Western Goals, one of its European branches, bragged up the fact that it was basically in bed with the Galen org, Reinhard Galen of Nazi intelligence fame. And then when Hunt would go on to take the remnants of the surveillance arm of the JBS, Western Goals, and transform it into the hierarchy of the Council for National Policy, a group that I can see nothing good coming out of, hardly at all. All of this suggests a flirtation with fascism, a flirtation with the whole idea of deep political practices, which I don't think that any grassroots conservative individual should be involved in.
Yeah, what it might be attributable to in part is the flawed dialectical logic. A lot of people begin to support or flirt with fascism because according to dialectical logic, it seems to be dichotomously related to communism. And if you're an anti-communist, which of course I myself am an anti-communist, it seems as though supporting communism's ostensible opposition, which hawks itself off as fascism, is the logical choice. But it isn't, because in actuality, fascism and communism are really just birds of the feathers of the same, you know, wing of the same bird. Fascism is basically just socialism that ostensibly observes private property rights, but rigidly regulates them through governmental regulation, whereas communism makes no bones about it, and private property rights are completely and totally revoked. But the problem is that individuals don't see that difference, and so they think fascism is preferable, or they confuse fascism with constitutional republicanism, and it's not. And that may be in part what has motivated his flirtation with fascism before he passed.
I think there may be more merit in bashing populism as contrasted with constitutionalism than there is a lot of things connected with the Birch Society. I think likely that Western Goals has been unfairly picked on. I take it that Western Goals was principally and almost exclusively the baby of Congressman Larry McDonald,
mm-hmm.
who had been a handpicked successor to the society until he was murdered. And now, I'm not going to say that Larry McDonald was pure as the riven snow, but so far as I know, he was.
Well, McDonald's problem was that he was related to General George Patton, and General George Patton kind of had a slight, mild, I'd say, flirtation with fascism as a kind of way of getting at the communist.
You wouldn't say that just because he wanted to use Germans against Stalinist Russia.
He felt that Germany always should have never been the main target. He thought that it should have been the Soviet Union.
Well, that's hard to disagree with, though.
Well,
The problem is that after the Hitler-Stalin pact fell apart, it was primarily Hitler's Germany that was trying to swallow up the known world. The problem is with Western goals is if you look at it, look at what the Tower Commission found. It is now incontrovertible that Western goals was being used by John Singlob as part of Ollie North's secret Contra support apparatus. It was part of the Contra part of Iran-Contra.
Well, I don't think I'd ever want to look at the Tower Commission's findings as models of constitutional probity or wholesomeness.
Well, the truth is, though, is that they did dig up a lot, and it just became hard to for anybody to deny what was going on there. It was, and Singlob was also very much in bed with Vong Pao, who was basically this opium lord over in the east, and he just recently got into trouble.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry. Let me jump in here quickly. We have a short break here, folks, and then we're going to have to wrap up with our guests. Roger, thanks for the call. Paul and Philip, hang on. We're back.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Got some time to waste, I'll maybe make this all
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're here with us, wrapping up hour number two and our time with Philip and Paul Collins. These guys have been fantastic. Of course, the authors of the book, The Ascendancy of the Scientific Dictatorship. And we've really, gentlemen, we've gone down a lot of tangents that I think are somewhat off track of what we started on. And again, folks, I urge you to read their latest paper. It's at conspiracyarchive.com in the commentary section. Just look up Paul and Philip Collins. It's Institutions of Economic Piracy. That's where we're at right now. We have to understand that, folks, in this global push in every single possible conceivable way. It's money that makes it all happen. And gentlemen, you've done a phenomenal job of isolating and pinning down the big power players and sort of where this whole mindset, this agenda, and the playbook really originates from.
Thank you for that, Frank. Yeah, basically what you have is with the economics, as the unknown author of the tract Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars makes clear, economics has become the new weapon of choice in this war of the ruling class against the rest of humanity. And basically, with economics and the manipulation of wealth, with the manipulation of currency, you can basically alter specific modes of thoughts and behaviors within target populations, and basically steer the course of the rest of civilization. And that's ultimately the objective. That's one of the reasons why economics really is a subsidiary, again, of the technocratic social sciences. The social sciences find their origins with Enlightenment thinkers like Comte and Henri de Saint-Simon, who were dedicated to the erection of a technocratic society, a scientific dictatorship. And the whole goal is social engineering, and that's precisely what the modern economic system, this emergent global economy, is geared towards, is the social engineering of entire populations.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously, with all that in mind, and in the very limited minute or so we've got, what do you guys anticipate will be coming next? I mean, we're looking at a lot of big changes, obviously, a lot of people vying for political supremacy in the run for presidency, and immigration very much on the ballot, and of course one of the reasons why is for economic reasons.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. What we see coming is that once again the strategy that's being used by the IMF is this strategy known as disaster capitalism, where the army just basically goes in, the military goes in, destroys a country's infrastructure, and then the corporations come in and rebuild the infrastructure.
Oh, yeah.
So the next target is going to be Iran. I really do think that
too.
And so this whole tactic of disaster capitalism is going to be employed again, and and we're going to see it with Iran one way or the other. Either the neocons are going to pull it, or a neoliberal consensus will, with the next president, will lead to it happening.
It's a scary, scary thing. And of course, if you look at some of the draft legislation that's been offered up in the past, it mentions residents, or I should say persons in the United States. Doesn't necessarily say citizens, which means that a big push for 25 million illegal immigrants to be welcomed legitimately into the country certainly opens up a whole lot of disposable soldiers for the front lines. Scary stuff, gentlemen. I can't thank you enough for your time tonight. I wish we had more, and we'll do it again very, very soon. But people can read your articles again at conspiracyarchive.com. And thank you very much to our guests, Philip and Paul Collins. Folks, we're going to take a short break, back in 90 seconds with the third and final hour of the show. Stay with us.